In typical molecular systematics study, we make a fundamental assumption, it's rarely stated, which is known as a stationarity assumption, in which we assume that the base composition is constant over the whole data set. For example, in this hypothetical phylogeny, we are making implicit assumption a priori that the taxa included in the analysis share similar base composition. However, when this assumption is violated, for example, when two distantly related groups evolve a similar base composition, you end up with incorrect inference, and this is inevitable. And rarely we test for this in phylogenetics. Over the past years, our lab and myself have been involved with the Beetle Tree of Life project, and our lab has been especially focusing on generating complete mitochondrial genome data from 72 tier 1 beetle taxa in order to infer the deep level phylogeny of the order. And the reason we use mitochondrial genome data is because it's known to be phylogenetically informative marker with number of genes, and previous studies on other orders have shown that it's capable of resolving relationships accurately over broad time scale. However, as you can see in my talk, we've encountered some analytic issues, and namely base compositional heterogeneity. Here's a taxon sampling I'm gonna use today. This is by no means comprehensive beetle taxon sampling, and we need to include a whole lot more. But the focus of this particular presentation is to show you that we have this problem, and this has to be addressed correctly. Otherwise, we end up making pretty nonsensical conclusions. So here's our single most parsimonious tree and a partition Bayesian analysis tree based on concatenated 13 protein coding genes over 11,000 aligned nucleotide sequences. And as you can see, the monophyly of Coleoptera is well supported with 100% bootstrap and 100% posterior probability. But if you look at it carefully, and those of you who know your beetles can see some weird relationships within there. And each group is color-coded in my talk. So first, Tetraflores, which belongs to suborder Archostomata, is nested within Polyphaga. Tetraflores is one of the basal group within beetle, belongs to suborder Archostomata, which is known from Mesozoic, and it contains many primitive morphological characters, and previous phylogenetic studies based on molecular characters have shown that indeed this suborder is basal to other suborders of beetle. So the placement of Tetraflores within Polyphaga appears to be erroneous. The second weird relationship was this paraphyletic relationship within Cucuziformia, especially in the placement of Tenebrionidae within the beetles. Cucuziformia is a hyperdiverse clade, it's very big, but it is strongly supported as a monophyletic group with a number of morphological characters, and the previous molecular studies have also shown that Cucuziformia is also a monophyletic group, especially the Tenebrionidae belonging to Cucuziformia. Therefore, paraphyletic Cucuziformia, especially Tenebrionidae not grouping with other Cucuziform taxa in our preliminary study appears to be erroneous. Finally, we have a strange relationship of the Elateroidea. Pyrophorus divergens is a click beetle, and it belongs to Elaterid, which belongs to the superfamily Elateroidea. It's supported by a number of characters, both morphology and molecular. So click beetle, not belonging to Elateroidea, is weird, it's erroneous. So why do we recover these erroneous relationships with really high support value? I mean, this is good, but this is good because it's so obvious. But if you don't know your taxonomy, then you know you are really making incorrect inference. It's not the problem with the model-based. It's not the issue of among-site rate heterogeneity in the data set, which can be resolved with the Bayesian analysis. Turns out that if we map the base composition, this is 80% of all the 13 protein coding genes, we discover that this clade consists of taxa that have lower AT bias compared to other taxa included in this analysis. And this problem is not new, but it is rarely tested with the real data set. It has been tested with the simulated data set, but not with the real data set. There have been a number of methods that have been proposed to deal with this issue. Logdet is well-known method. It's a neighbor joining method to transform your data according to the base composition. It has been used very widely and justified. However, if we apply Logdet transformation to our data, it doesn't really solve anything. It actually has recovers parsimony tree and doesn't differ from other neighbor joining phenogram. But in recent years, there have been some development in complex models in the Bayesian framework that deal with the compositional heterogeneity. And there are two categories. One implements composition vectors, which change over tree during phylogenetic reconstruction. And this method is implemented in P4 and phase. So it's kind of hard to explain, but you get to define your composition, which is ATGC, how much ATGC is there. And during tree reconstruction, that is allowed to change. So you can actually account for localized base composition change as you build tree. If we apply that analysis in our data set, we actually correct for the bias. So the tetraflares, which is orchestrata, is now basal to other polyphaga. Cucugiformia is monophyletic. Electrovoidea is monophyletic. So this is much sensible to coleopterists than people who know your beetles. Although these two relationship is kind of weird, but I think that this has to do with the taxon sampling. Similar method, which is implemented in phase, also correctly recover polyphaga as a monophyletic group with basal orchestrata with groups monophyletic. However, there's another method that has been proposed in the Bayesian framework known as implemented in program phylobase, and it implements site-specific sequence evolution known as CAT model. When we use this model in our data set, it actually performs poorly. This is very nonsensical, doesn't make any sense. Finally, there are some likelihood methods implemented in program NHFIMO. It's based on the algorithm described by Gaultier and Gu in 1995, known as GG95 model, and accounts for the compositional bias by specifying a different GC content for the ancestral sequence between two clades and for each branch during the tree construction. Turns out that this program requires a starting tree. If we supply Logdet tree as a starting tree, you get bad tree. Garbage in, garbage out. But if you put a P4 tree as a starting tree, then you recover the basically same topology but with a higher likelihood ratio. So these software and these algorithms have been all published, and they're shown to be very useful and effective. Why do some work and why do some not work with real data? And I attribute that to the complexity of the data. In this day and age, we use multi-gene, and next door they're doing phylogenomics with hundreds of genes. But but we don't really have a good mechanism to account for the complexity of the genes that we use in our data set. For example, here I'm showing the base composition for each of 13 protein coding gene of Arcus stomata. So here's ND2 to ND1. This is listed as an order within the genome. And as you can see, although these are all sharing low 80%, each gene actually has different bias. For adding more taxa, that complicates the problem. In this COX-2, these two have share bias, but in the same two taxa, these two not share the bias. And if we add more taxa, that complicates the problem. So we need to account for this type of bias. Otherwise, we end up with a tree that is nonsensical, and we say, oh, it doesn't really corroborate with the morphology tree, and we don't know what to do. But there is actually a way to deal with this problem. So in terms of the ability to deal with compositional bias, parsimony actually performs poor because it's character-based. But so is likelihood method and typical Bayesian methods. So they all cannot deal with the compositional bias. Log-dense transformation doesn't actually solve the problem, especially when you have multiple genes that have different bias and evolving at different rates. And one method, Bayesian analysis implementing variable compositional vectors, seems to be promising, but the software is very hard to use. And I had a bioinformatics undergrad helping me with this. So this is a problem that we need to deal with. And another Bayesian method implementing CAD model performs poorly, and I also attribute that to the complexity of our data. And the likelihood model is fair because it is sensitive to the starting tree. So what does this mean to all of us who are using molecular character and moving into the phylogenomics era? I think our ability to generate data is pretty high with the 454 all that, but our ability to analyze data still needs a lot of work. And over the next 10, 20 years, we'll see a lot of development in terms of analyzing this data accurately, so that we're spending all this money to generate data and we don't have the correct inference. That's just not right. So with that, I'd like to thank all the people who supplied specimens and help with the people who wrote the software and the funding agencies. Thank you.
Derek? Did you try using just amino acids?
Yes. Amino acid in this data set actually performs better. But if we are enlarging the taxon sampling, then it's actually introducing, because it's a reduced coding, and it's introducing a number of other characters that are grouping, and sometimes you have nonsensical relationships. But I've tried RY coding, amino acid coding, and it actually depends on the data that you're looking at and taxon sampling. Yes?
How did you sequence whole mitochondrial genomes?
We used primer walking technique. So we had a series of overlapping long PCR fragments and designed our specific primers and sequenced. Yes? Yeah, this is a partition Bayesian analysis. Each gene is, so we ran different model tests for each gene and has a partition, partitioned the whole thing into 13 partitions. But that actually, partitioning into one single big partition or 13 partition, that doesn't really have any effect in terms of compositional bias, because we are dealing with the bias not the among-site rate heterogeneity, and these are two totally different problems. Yep. Yep. Any other questions? All right, thank you.